The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Brother, I'm sure all of us know that we're very near the end of this age. I mean, when you really stop and think about it, it has been some 2,000 years since Jesus gave his first disciples insights about the end times. It's apparent from Scripture that many of the early disciples thought the end was probably going to occur in their lifetimes. I mean, after all, think about it this way. Jesus had told his disciples to pray, "Thy kingdom come." And now here we are, some 2,000 years closer to the end of the age, and we are still to be praying, "Thy kingdom come." So I'd like to begin by asking a question to focus in our minds and to think about this. Are we able to discern the signs of the times? We often do not talk about this heavy topic, this heavy subject. However, brethren, we do need to stay alert. We do need to stay ready. We do need to stay prepared for the things that the last generation will witness and or experience at the close of this age. We all need to know what will happen as God reveals his future to his children. We need to know what we believe. We need to have things settled in our hearts. Jesus, speaking to the disciples about the end time, made this interesting statement in Luke 21 and verse 14. Luke 21 and verse 14. "Settle it therefore in your hearts." And he's speaking to them about the end times. And so this is in the context of that. "Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. We also need to know, where do we stand? Now, it's going to be obvious for some, this message today will be a short overview or review of some of the major end time events. For others, this message will be perhaps a short introductory summary. And I want all of us to understand, by no means is this description of the end time events meant to be or meant to imply or meant to even hint that the list of end time events is limited to these events and these examples and these verses that we're going to look at in this particular message. I have entitled this message, "Expectations of the End." And by that title, what I am meaning is what we can and what we should expect from God. The focus is going to be on God and what he is going to do or is doing. Now, we find in the Bible that God has used signs to mark his future interventions with mankind. One very good example of that can be found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 7 and verse 14. Isaiah 7 and verse 14. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel." Sad. But when the fulfillment of this particular sign did occur, Jesus did come and Mary did conceive as a virgin and gave birth, and she did call his name Emmanuel, many missed it or rejected it. And brethren, we certainly do not want to miss any of the signs that God has provided for us. You see, brethren, as disciples today, we need to be able to see events that are unfolding, and we need to know how to respond righteously toward them. So here in this message, let's list a few of the events that are to occur prior to the seventh trumpet, the last trump, the seventh trumpet, and prior to the resurrection of the dead. You know, when our bodies, our mortal bodies, will put on immortality and we'll no longer worry or fear anything about our frail human flesh. Looking a little bit further down here in Luke 21 and verse 26, Luke 21 verse 26, Jesus says, men's hearts failing them for fear and looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. After the resurrection, our hearts will not be subject to failing. We will have been changed from flesh to spirit. Jesus goes on and he lists some of the major events for his disciples as they sat on the Mount of Olives overlooking the temple area. Here are some things that we can expect to happen at the end of the age. We're not going into all. Like I said, this is going to be an overview for many people and a good review for others. Let's read a few verses in the book of Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 3. Matthew 24, verse 3. And he, Jesus, sat up on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming, and of the end of the earth, and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. So the first thing that Jesus warned them about was being careful not to be deceived. Verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Then Jesus warned of wars and rumors of war and of nations rising against nation. Verse 6. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse or in different places. Then in verse 8, Jesus labeled those times, I find very interesting. Verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, I want us to jump ahead here in Matthew 24, but jump ahead to verse 21. Matthew 24, verse 21. And then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then if we go back up to verse 9, where we left off, Jesus predicted, foretold, that some believers would be hated and afflicted and killed. He talks about the love of many would wax cold, and brethren would even betray one another. Verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and you shall be killed, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another. That's talking about within the church. And shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So all of those things could be listed at individually or collectively as signs of the end of the age that we're to take notice of. Another sign of the end of the end of the age or the end of the time is the rise of the Antichrist. Jesus gave reference to this event as the abomination of desolation, or probably the abomination that makes desolate. In 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul wrote that the man of sin would be revealed. And he also wrote about a great falling away from the truth. Jesus said that it would be so bad that except the day should be shortened, all flesh would be lost. So still here in Matthew 24, let's pick up in verse 15. Matthew 24 and verse 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso reads, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return to take his clothes. Jumping ahead to verse 22. And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Jesus also goes on and he speaks about heavenly signs, telling his disciples that prior to his return to set up the kingdom of God in Jerusalem, there would be signs in the heavens, with the sun being darkened and the moon unable to provide light. Verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet. This, we know this is symbolized, at least symbolized by the Feast of Trumpets, the seventh trump. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Please understand, these words will be fulfilled. They're going to happen. Jesus said so. And so we know it's going to happen. Heaven and earth shall pass away. And he also says, but my words shall not pass away. Continuing on here in verse 42, still in Matthew 24, verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. Jesus referred to Daniel the prophet. Daniel the prophet also wrote about the end times, where he foretold of the increase of knowledge and of the running of to and fro. Sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? So go with me to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel 12 and verse 4. Daniel 12 and verse 4. We can read all of the verses in Daniel 12 up to this, 1 through 4. But let's read just the one verse. But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book when the time of the end, even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased. It's pretty obvious. Daniel gives us some of the important features of the time of the end. And please do not be fooled by his statement that knowledge will be increased. No, we need to be very, very cautious. We need to be careful here. Because the fact is that knowledge being increased does not mean that truth is being increased. In fact, it is just the opposite at times. Brethren, the Bible is very clear in many different places that great deception is a characteristic of the end times. So here let me ask, has enough been revealed about the end to us. Jesus actually tells us when the end will come. It's recorded for us in Matthew, and it's when Jesus said, "The gospel shall be preached in all the world as a witness. Then shall the end come." Jesus described a very positive sign of the end times also. He spoke of a witness to all nations. I'm not going to read all of these verses, but I'm going to give you verses in three different places. Matthew 24, verse 14. Mark 13, verse 10 through 13. And Luke 21, verse 10 through 19. Yet, brethren, it appears there are other aspects of the end time that have not yet been unsealed. And if we look closely at the book of Revelation, we find another listing of events that will be taking place in the world at the time of the end. Revelation mentions war, famine, pestilence, and tribulations. And so here, I think, is a good place for us to ask this question. What in the world is going on today? I mean, if you look at television today, if you watch especially news broadcasts, it doesn't matter which broadcast you're looking at, but news broadcasts especially, they're full of examples of political strife, lots of inequality, many problems and arguments about the climate change issues. Whether you agree or disagree with some of these things is not the point. They're there. You can see it. Terrible governmental decisions and wars and rumors of war. Almost in any broadcast, you can hear one or two or three of these particular things going on at any time. Are these important to notice? Jesus was telling his disciples what to look for, what the end of the age was going to look like. Is he describing our age? I mean, after all, many of these signs and conditions have prevailed since the time of Jesus on earth. That really doesn't make any difference. The warning still stands. Verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." And then in verse 44, "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not know." Now notice these words, "be ready." How do we do that? We have to be able to discern the signs and the spiritual, and we need to be spiritually prepared. God tells us through the Apostle Peter some of the ideas the scoffers at the end time are going to hold on, are going to put forth as truth. They will mock scriptures and they will ask, "Where is the promise of his coming?" Many will choose, prefer to believe that our societies, our cultures, our world today are just going on and doing what they always have done. 2 Peter 3, verse 3. "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust." They have an agenda. "And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." Are these events taking place important to us? are these events taking place important for God? The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy that there would be terrible times in the last days. He describes for us in places individual flagrant and prevailing sins of mankind, dominating sins, willingly doing these things. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 5, we're going to read 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 5, and I'm going to read these verses out of the New International Version, the NIV. But mark this, in other words, but notice this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, but lovers, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. That's the NIV. Very clear. Will people be hearing and believing this, or will most people be of the frame of mind that things will go on and they will continue to go on just as they have for the past millennia? Jesus actually gives the answer to that. We find it is in Matthew 24. Because of what mankind will choose to believe, they will be caught off guard. Don't let it happen to us. This is a warning to us. This is why he's telling the disciples all of these things. Verse 37. This is in Matthew 24 and verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. In other words, things were going on pretty much like today. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So he tells us exactly what men are going to be thinking. They're not going to believe the signs. They're not going to believe the Word of God. They're not going to believe the prophets. They're not going to believe the apostles in the New Testament that are telling us exactly what is going to happen and for us to be aware of this. No. Now, with that in mind, go with me to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. In verse 5, Genesis 6, verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. Drop down to verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Again, does this sound like the world in which we're living today? Here, brethren, let me mention a few additional important signs of the end times. I'm going to do these as bullets because it's easier for me to do them in that way and for you to take them down if you're writing notes. One, many people will give heed to seducing spirits. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith. Is this talking a warning about from the church? We've already had some warnings against the church and the people who attend the church. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. This is going to happen at the end of the age. This is talking of warning to the church. The second one I want to give, additional events of the latter days, is going to be times will be perilous or dangerous. It's a better word there for us today. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. That happening today? Yes. Another one. Paul wrote to Timothy about specific characteristics of unrighteousness. Things are going to be going on, characteristics, things that are going to be happening that are going to be signs of unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is things that are away from God. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 3, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Didn't Jesus say something like that? You're going to be hated and afflicted, and many and some believers are going to be killed. The next one that I give, additional end time events. People will be more interested in fables than in clear Bible teaching. More interested in fables than in clear Bible teaching. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 and 4. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall run, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. Characteristics of unrighteousness at the end time. Another one. Brethren will betray one another. Some will be afflicted and killed. Matthew 24, verse 9 and 10. Matthew 24, verse 9 and 10. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then many shall be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Another sign of the times of the end is found in Luke 21. It warns of the destruction of Jerusalem. Luke 21 and verse 20. Luke 21 and verse 20. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. The destruction of Jerusalem is at hand. Is Jerusalem surrounded by armies? Jerusalem is surrounded by armies. Is it to the place that it needs to be to fulfill this? It's getting there. We're to be watching. We're being warned. That's the whole purpose. So please realize, brother, not only has God given us warnings and signs for us to discern, He has also provided the process we are to use to be prepared. For one thing, we must study the Word of God diligently so we do not give way to any form of deceit or to be taken in by false Christ and false miracles. They're going to happen? Yes, they're going to be happening. And it's going to deceive many, and except those days be short because of the believers, the true believers. Another one of these end time event warnings, signs, Peter warns us to watch unto prayer. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be you therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And brother, here's the thing. We're given all of these warnings. We're even told some instructions about what we need to be doing. We all need to be comforted knowing who and what God is and in knowing what he says in his word. Yes, we do face a horrible enemy who wants to kill and steal and to destroy us. That's what Jesus tells us in Matthew 10, verse 10. We're warned of this. We're told of that. So a question that I think that we need to ask ourselves is, are we to worry? Of course not. Of course not. Jesus Christ has the victory. You could even say the war hasn't even started yet, but he's already crowned victorious because we know who's going to win. God is in charge. That's because we need to know who and what is God, what he's going to do. His word is sure. He's told us what to expect. And then he tells us what the income is. And it's a warning to us to pay attention so we don't get caught up in these things and think, oh, okay, well, I've read that and I know what it says. That makes no difference. You can memorize scripture. You can memorize the whole Bible if we're not living by every word of God. It makes no difference. Are we to worry? Of course not. We must take sanctuary in God and in his promises that he gives to us. Of course, to be able to take sanctuary in God and to be able to take comfort in knowing what his scriptures, we got to know what they are. Remember, God's word is full of encouragement for his faithful children. That's for us. It is there. He tells us. All these horrible things are going to take place, but we're to take encouragement in the fact that we be faithful children, and he is giving us encouragement in many, many places throughout Scripture, even in the midst of the listing of these horrible things that are going to be taking place. So, brethren, let's review a few of his powerful promises and examples. Now I'm going to do something I don't typically do here. I'm going to read a whole bunch of scriptures. In fact, I'm going to read 22 different passages. And I'm going to read them just one right after the other, probably too long and too fast for most people to turn to them. Probably you might be able to write them down. And so we need to listen to them as they're being read. And I also make this statement. If you would like to know what they are, we can send them to you through an email. If you contact me about these biblical promises, and so to receive them, send me an email at benfaulkner@cotsg.org, and in the subject line, just put the word verses, and I'll know what you're talking about. And we'll send them on to you. But we're going to read 22 different ones here. And these are promises and examples of how God takes care of us. And this is not all of them. This is many, but it's some, but it's not all. So let's get started here in reading them. Isaiah 49, verse 16. Isaiah 49:16. Behold, I have graven you upon the palms of my hands, your walls are continually before me. Philippians 4:19. He will supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Isaiah 59 verse 19. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Psalm 68, verse 18. You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. And remember, Jesus Christ has overcome death, and he has overcome the grave, and he has ascended on high, and he has led captivity captive. Isaiah 60 and verse 4. God has now given to them that fear him a banner that it may be displayed because of the truth. Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14. Exodus 14, 13 and 14. Verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear you not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Deuteronomy 20 and verse 4. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. 2 Samuel 22, verses 3 and 4. 2 Samuel 22, verses 3 and 4. The God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. Psalm 17, verses 7 and 8. Psalm 17, verse 7 and 8. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand, O you who save those who trust in you from those who rise up against them. Aren't these verses describing all of these things we've been looking at that are prophesied to take place, the bad things? Yeah, yeah. These are promises, but you got to know them. You got to be living God's way of life to be able to claim them and to live by them. And to. I could go on. Verse 8, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. Psalm 34 and verse 6. 34 verse 6. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Psalm 34 verse 17 through 19. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Psalm 57. I told you we're going to be reading 22 different places here. Psalm 57, verse 3. He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Psalm 91 and verse 7. 91 verse 7. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Psalm 138 and verse 7. 138 and verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you shall revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. Psalm 145 and verse 19. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. Proverbs 18 verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are saved. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoso trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Nahum 1 and verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust him. Romans 8, verse 37. Romans 8, verse 37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 and 9. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. The enemy can come against us, and they can do horrible things. But we're not giving up. We know who God is, and we run into this stronghold in the day of trouble. Hebrews 13, verse 6. Hebrews 13 and verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Zephaniah, this is the last one. Zephaniah 3 and verse 17. Zephaniah 3, 17. The Lord your God in the midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Whew. And again, this is many, but it's not all. God is there. Terrible things are going to happen, yeah, but God is there. Brother, we can be assured that the Bible describes some awesome and horrific events at the end of the age, at the end time. Horrible, horrible, horrible looking events. And again, this was an overview. We didn't even go into all of them. We didn't even attempt to go into all. This is not even a hint that this is all of them. God's word will be fulfilled. Yet, we need not be fearful of those coming events. I mean, after all, God knows what he is doing. God is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. And he lavishes us with his love. Remember, brethren, the thing that we need to be concerned about is that we are always dependent upon God, and that we are always cooperating with him as he prepares us to live with him forever. All of these things are given as warnings so that we will pay attention and we will want to be closer and closer to him. They are written down. They're recorded, and he tells us all these promises that he's going to do, and we can count on it. But we got to get into the book. We got to not just read it. We got to know it. We got to study it. We got to practice what it says. Live this righteous way of life. Lean on God. Study and know his word, because it is dependable. Praise him. Honor him. And brethren, live with him in the peace that he will give to us. And that peace is the peace that passes all understanding. The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. We are so blessed to know this great God and his promises. Happy Sabbath.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.